The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at
And I'm like, how is this possible when it's just literally me and my cat? And I'm not even counting my cat food.
Thank you for listening to the Future Rich podcast. Today's episode is going to be a two-part series. Today, August 2nd, we are going to air part one of my conversation with Monet. And then next week, you will be able on August 9th to listen to part two of my conversation with Monet. Thank you as always for listening. And if you like the show, please hit the subscribe button and share with a friend.
Hello, and welcome to Planetia's podcast, Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am also a CFP. And I am here with my guest today, Monet.
Hello, yes, that's right.
Hi. Okay, perfect. Thanks for joining us. Why don't you tell our listeners, and then obviously me, a little bit about yourself. So we like to do age, location, income, all that jazz.
Sure. So I'm Monet. I live in Pennsylvania. I won't disclose the city because it's kind of small. I make $55,000 a year. I work in education. And is there anything else that I'm missing from that?
Oh, single partners.
Oh my gosh, newly single. I could totally get into that too.
we will get into that. I love this. We'll get into that.
Yeah, and I'm just excited to be here. I've been tuning in since 2021, I want to say. I just love the format. Normally, when I listen to like finance type podcasts, it's a little bit too, I don't know, it's just too stuck up, I guess is the only word I could think of. And it's just nice. It feels so relaxed and it's just real people coming on talking about real things and you don't feel so alone. So thank you for bringing this to us.
Oh, amazing. I'm so happy to hear that. I feel like we put the podcast out every week and you don't really get a lot of feedback unless, thank you for the feedback, unless someone tells you. So you're like, I hope it's helping. I hope people like it. Like, we see the numbers, but like, it's just a number, you know, it's just a number. So that is the intention. We want to make it approachable and non-judgmental because I think that's really important that you're not put down, because I think I'm a big believer that if you get educated about your finances, you can always change where you are. It's not a permanent situation. Nothing's permanent. And so it shouldn't be judged. And you also have no control over life events. So you could have a perfect scenario and then have like a horrible accident and everything could change, you know? So I think it's really important that it's approachable and not judgmental. So I appreciate you.
Of course. I felt very connected too. I think it was maybe three weeks ago, possibly, the young lady in New York, and she was saying something like, you know, if you think you heard the worst, like, no. I'm like, I cannot wait. I hope that I get a chance to go on. Like, I might be the worst person with the most random situations ever. So I'm like, can I contact that girl so that way she knows she can talk to me if she wants to about her situations?
Yeah, you never know what someone else is going through. Okay, so fill us in. So you're in Pennsylvania, newly single, which I'm obviously gonna have questions on, making $55,000. And what are you doing for your industry? Like, what's your career?
So I'm an education, I'm a site manager at a university, a local university.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was a site manager at a really big organization that I heard such amazing things about in recent years. But unfortunately, some things remain the same. And I quickly left there. And I was making about maybe $63,000. And so I felt comfortable in this particular city that I'm in, because it's not New York prices, right? So, you know, it's like 63 can take you a long way, but I also wanted sanity, and I just wanted to feel wanted, and I also wanted assistance, you know, when it comes to certain things in my job description, and I didn't have that like I was promised. So now I'm in this space, and as much as I love education and I love the university that I'm at, things went downhill after 2 days of me starting. The person that was the other site manager, she was like, "Hey, Monet, can I pull you to the side? I'm leaving." I'm like, wait, what?
Within 2 days?
2 days, she told me she was leaving. She already talked to the dean that oversees this department, and she couldn't hurt 2 weeks. So at this point, that was the very beginning of December, I would say. And so we had this huge holiday break, you know, and then next thing you know, we're back in January and this person is gone after like day two of like, you know, January 3rd or something like that. And we came back. So it was just me on my own. And I'm like a middle ground person. I'm not just with the university, but also with this other organization that is like in the United States. So like I've kind of need both hands in the pot, and I don't always have that because the university doesn't know really what's going on because they depended on this person who's been there for like 9-10 years, you know, to like support me. And she just left, you know. And then the other person before her left in October of last year. So, you know, I don't have it. Yeah, didn't have the port there. And then the organization, they're struggling with their money. So they had a lot of layoffs soon after this news came out. So the people that were going to support me, have those people anymore either.
You like the director, show up and then everybody's like, "Hey, I'm out. Have a good time."
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I mean, I love a challenge sometimes, but I just wasn't expecting this. And I'll be honest, I really feel like if I would have known once I said, yes, sign me up to this, if someone would have told me, "Hey, I'm leaving. Also, there's like a lot of money issues within the organization and you might not have support that you need to like be successful in your role at all." I don't know if I don't know if I would have decided to stay.
Right. So are you that's a lot. It feels like it wasn't, obviously whoever hired you didn't know everybody was going to, there was going to be layoff. If it's another entity that you work with, and like they, obviously the 2 weeks she gave 2 weeks so that you don't know that in advance, it feels a little bit like a bait and switch. Like, here, come in, there'll be all the support and resources. And as you said, if you need those things to succeed, then it makes it difficult. You're kind of like a lose-lose, like unless they said to you, okay, here's the opportunity. By having these spaces open that we think you could grow into this role or whatever. So if they haven't identified how this is going to, if you succeed, right, if you're able to manage with all of the things that have been removed, like, have they given you like a path? Like, if you're able to manage the site without another site manager,
there's all these rules and regulations, and sorry in advance, my cat toy is going off, but there's all these rules and regulations on the organization side. So like, we have goals set in place. So we work with preschools, and the college students go into preschools to teach a curriculum that's already preset for them, which is really beautiful. Yeah. And to get them prepared for kindergarten with vocabulary and just reading books and all these amazing things. But we have goals set in place. So we have downsized since everyone decided to leave. And so now it's just me as one site manager, and I will be supporting 30 college students. And there's like a certain number of preschool students based off of those numbers as well that I'll eventually support over time in preschools. So, you know, they're very strict about goals, especially this year now that they have also downsized with the organization and their money is very, you know, structured in such a way now. So that's important. So it's like, I'm like the ugly stepkid here. It's like, you know, like I'm trying to support whatever they need with the organization. And then you got the university side and, you know, we have provisional days and whatnot where they're like, "Hey, we really need you to do this, and like you're kind of low on this, but we need you to do this." And like, I don't have time to do all the things that I need and would love to do. I just don't know where it's fitting in. And then to top it off, you know, to make matters worse, I'm neurodivergent a bit. I'm a little neurospicy. So, you know, I have ADHD and I'm waiting to get the final test on that to confirm this with everybody and send this off. So like, that is another layer of like issues that I have, I guess, this that kind of delay me from making progress in a lot of areas. So at this point, I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I need money. Don't we all? But I need money too. To survive. Don't we all?
Yeah, we got a lot going on.
I told you.
Okay, so the plan maybe is to stick with it for the moment. You like, is how's the income feeling? Like, maybe we should talk. Maybe let's see where you are with expenses. So I know you're not living in a major metropolitan city, so hopefully the dollars are going further. And are there any scenarios of education you get like nice benefits, like free education?
But I'll be honest, like if I do anything, probably like a certification. I have my master's, so I do have that.
Which can take you far. Okay.
Yes, so I have my master's in social work. I'm an MSW, so yay that. That's awesome. I do not plan on getting my license anytime soon because I do struggle with test taking, and I know that there are programs to assist, but it also costs money. So I do believe my university would possibly pay for that, and I can even count it as professional development because we have professional development dollars set aside for whether it be conferences or stuff like that. So I could possibly do that, and that would help increase my pay for sure if I go somewhere else. But to be completely honest with you, I am looking other places and also looking within the university to see if there's anything else that kind of catches my eye that also has more money, because I need it. We all need it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea to look within the university, right? Because it's a little easier to network inside internally sometimes, and you could like see what the job is, reach out to that person because, you know, you work there, so they'll answer you, or they should, and say, hey, I'm interested. Yeah. So yeah, they should. So that all makes sense. I think that's great. And then did I get how old you were? I don't know if I must have missed that.
I am 34. I'll be 35 in November.
Okay. Before 2035. Okay, great. So let's see where you are with the expenses. How's rent where you are? Are you renting? Do you own?
I'm renting. I'm actually moving, which is another layer to this. I probably mentioned
that in
my message. Yeah, it's a lot. But I mentioned in my message back in 2019, I actually moved back to this building I was living with and now ex of mine, and a lot of stuff went down, and I moved back to this location that I probably shouldn't have because it's a slumlord location. But the building manager was so lovely at the time. However, I found him a girlfriend on a dating app, and he moved in with his girlfriend. So now, it's a different
little matchmaking on the side.
Yeah, not getting paid for, but whatever, you know. But yeah, so you know, I no longer have that support system where, like, if something were to happen, I could, you know, reach out to this person. They're no longer here. But one of the things that happened when he left, at least that I noticed, was just severe smoke. And we have a forced heating vents on the bottom, like the perimeter of the building, on each in each room. And I wake up in the morning, eyes are swollen, I can't breathe, I'm coughing, my nose is congested. I mean, it's just so horrible for my health. And it's been since, like I said, 2019.
Like cigarette smoke coming through the vents?
Really horrible, dirty cigarette smoke. Not judging anybody who smokes. Just like, at least like give me like a good smelling cigarette. Like give me something else, you know? But it's just...
I don't think it exists. And like, I feel like if you smoke, like, that's fine, but I don't want it in my living space. I've had apartment cards come through, and it's like, no, if you would like to engage in that activity and destroy your lungs, have at it. But not mine, you know?
Exactly.
And with those venting systems, it can really, really come through into your space. I've had that happen with an apartment.
Yeah, so it's so bad. And I've been reporting it, you know, and I could easily fight back. I know a lot of people who are in like the housing advocacy, you know, spaces, but I'm so sick of fighting all the time with slumlords. I'm just over it, to be completely honest. And I'm like, I'd rather just start new. I kind of need that anyways at this point in my life. And so I'm moving in our downtown section. My mom is freaking out because it's a lot going on right now with the homeless population. They lost their housing recently. And so there's been a lot more crime because of that. But oddly enough, I feel really safe in this area, and the rent is going up by about $200, and I'm like, you know what, I'll figure it out.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day.
If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out.
Okay, so what will the new rent be? I do think it's good to get out of a situation where you're having cigarette smoke in your apartment all the time. That's not yours.
Yes. No. It's not mine. Nope. No, but the new rent is $1,277.
Okay, $1,277. And then what's your take home about? I know
it's about
monthly.
Yeah, so right now is 3,514. We can say 15 even, if you round it. Okay. I was getting supplemental pay because of that abrupt departure of the other site manager. And I actually was trying to check in on that this week to see if I was still getting it, because I'm a little confused about what the pay slip that I have online looks like. But it was about $200 additional than, you know, what I'm making with the number I gave you. But right. I think they said I'll only get that for just a few months, which is insane. So I'm like, I'll be the only site manager for a very long time, at least for another calendar year.
So they initially said we'll pay you extra because essentially you're probably doing more than your role. It sounds like you're doing more than your role. But then the supplemental pay was just temporary.
Yeah. And I think because a couple of things, one, they just never did that before. It never was a time where they had it forever. They'd only maybe hire somebody else or like had additional assistance. Mm-hmm. But then also now with the new goal numbers for the organization, the university, I guess, is like, okay, well, now we're kind of back to square one for this new school year. And this is kind of what she would have to do anyways if it was one site manager, which it is. So I guess they're like, hey, whatever, we're going to just let it go. So I need to check in on that, because I'm like, you know, I really would love to keep that. That would be lovely.
Yeah, I would love for you to keep that too. Okay, so we'll put that down as like, maybe you shoot them an email and just say, I'd like to discuss continuing this for me until you find a replacement. Yeah. The worst thing is they say no.
Yeah.
And then what you could also say is like, I'd like, maybe we could revisit this, or like you could check in with somebody, whoever, because there's always like another decision maker, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's always uncomfortable. I do it myself. It's uncomfortable, but I always think it's like, well, why don't we check? Can we do a meeting with so-and-so, or like, where does this get decided? Or is there anything else we could do to see if there's any more wiggle room? The worst thing is they say no. Even if you ask twice, they say no twice. That's the downside.
Exactly. No. I actually have a meeting with the dean who oversees the department coming up, because we have a new director. The person's very lovely, but the changes also are very abrupt, and everyone is just like, the sky is falling right now. It's just not the time for all these different changes. Like, the increased amount of time we're spending in the office is insane. When it's summer and there's no students, and like, why are we here so long? We should be enjoying our little extra 30 minutes away from work. But I want to talk to her anyway, so I will bring that up.
Yeah, you might as well. I'm always a big fan of just broaching the conversation. I think often it's skipped over because it is uncomfortable, or at least I find it uncomfortable. Most people find it uncomfortable. So it's just like a temporary moment or minutes of uncomfortableness that could be very helpful overall. Okay. So after rent, so we're just going to leave out the supplemental income for the time being. After rent, you have $2,237 left, give or take.
About that amount. Probably even a little bit more. Okay. But yes.
Okay, and then what other bills do we have?
Ooh, so we have, internet, which is about $79.
Okay.
Electricity is about $20. And I'm hoping that stays the same in the new place. We'll see. I really use anything or have lights on and stuff. So, you know, but right now it's pretty dark in here. my cell phone is $60.
Okay.
I have Netflix. And I think I still have Hulu, and it's about $40 in total.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is one of the main issues, and I'm like, somebody please help me. My groceries are probably close to like $200, at least I budget that amount. And I'm like, how is this possible when it's just literally me and my cat? And I'm not even counting my cat food.
So it's $200 a month.
I would say about that. And I'm just literally greedy and that's it.
No, I actually don't think that's too high. I feel like I keep a lot often. Yeah. And who would, I just did a podcast a little earlier today. And I think groceries for two people was 800 a month. Now, very different, one of the highest cost of living cities. So groceries are obviously, it all trickles down. If their rent is the most expensive grocery store rent, you know, in the country, then their groceries are the most expensive groceries. So that would have been double. And so of like, if you cut it in half. So I actually don't think 200 a month, I mean, it's $50 a week.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not even including what I'm eating out, but that will get there.
We'll get there.
Next thing on the list. Yeah. Dining out, I had budgeted $150, but I feel like I always go over, especially in the summer when you want to go outside more and you want to grab whatever, I don't know, a fish taco or something like once a week, you know, but that's what I budgeted. And then personal care, grooming, this is a budgeted amount, but I feel like I never get a chance to see this, which is $140. That's like a pedicure or a manicure or like a wax or something. Yep. I do my own hair when I do my hair. So that's luckily excluded.
Okay, that's good. That is a big budget item for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
And then toiletries is about $50. I try going to Amazon to save some money on that. And then I like to, you know, sometimes buy clothing, even though I don't really go too many places to wear all the clothes, but you know, that's about $177. I feel like recently gained weight in the past year or so, and I'm such a hoarder of clothes and things that I have so many old clothes I know it's not fitting me. They're just not. But in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get back in it. Like tomorrow it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I have to keep replacing them, especially for work and especially for the fall. We are wearing casual wear right now, but we are more like a, you know, dressy attire space. So I'm trying to like re-up on all those things. And then I do have a GoDaddy account because I am trying to work on a website for my small business. And that's $32. Okay. And I have Capital One, and I have a savings with Capital One. So I try every month to put $300 in my savings, which doesn't even exist right now. So we can get into that in a sec. But I do put $300 every month into my savings. And I also see about, I'll say about $350 altogether for my two credit cards I normally include every month to pay off the credit card bill.
Okay. So those expenses come to $1,598. And then if we add in the rent at what?
Because I was completely wrong with those numbers.
That comes to, with the rent added in, we come to $2,875. That's what I'm showing. With the rent at $1,277. And then I have you bringing home, even if we just round up and say it's $2,900 in expenses, and then I have you bring home we'll just use round numbers, $3,500. So a $600 gap. Does it feel like you have $600 at the end of the month?
Never. In fact, the issue is, well, not really an issue, but a thing I do now is I use this app that I probably shouldn't even know about called Earning. I don't know if you heard of Earning.
Okay.
And pretty much like you can take from your next paycheck and use it for now, depending on if you want to use it right now, or if you want to use it within 3 to 5 days. They charge you probably like, I don't know, like 30 cents per transaction. And it's lovely, but also it gets you in trouble because you're thinking you always have the funds.
Yeah. Okay. So no, I did not know about this. I don't want to say I live under a rock. I work a lot. And so I'm not like, and they don't advertise to me. Maybe they will now that we've talked about it. Maybe my phone will be listening and I'll get an ad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they charge.
Please sponsor.
So basically they'll front you the money from your next pay period, or they'll like,
yep.
Kind of. So kind of like a payday.
Yep, and loan, they'll
put like an ad.
Exactly. without anything, yeah, without you having to pay anything else except for, like, I think the charge of maybe like a few cents, like 30 cents or something. But, you know, that stuff adds up over time. So whenever you get your new paycheck, you probably either will forget about the fact that you, you know, took out a $300 in total for that the month before. And then you're like, wait a minute, I owe, like, you know, 300 and whatever amount of dollars. Like, this is insane. But it's okay because, you know, the next day, that period, you have money set aside for that. So I end up in that particular space. And then I end up, unfortunately, taking from Capital One's savings. And it's just like, I would love to be able to just, not that long ago, I was able to just keep the 300 each month in my savings. And I had, it wasn't a lot, but I had at least like close to 2,000, 3,000 easily in there. And now it's all gone. And I don't know. I really feel like my issue is the food stuff. I love like ordering stuff from Uber Eats, not sponsored, but I love, you know, I love Uber Eats and I don't want to always leave my house and, you know, or I, you know, or I'll go, I love going, listening to live music. So I'm paying whatever the cover might be for live music just to sit and squat and listen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't even know if I have entertainment on here as a budget item, but maybe I probably should because that's like my life revolves around that.
Okay, so this is all doable. I will tell you that borrowing from your next paycheck is what we'll call a red flag because it means like we talk about dating, red flag. So we talk about personal finance, but we're going to throw that out there as a red flag. Do it once or twice, no judgment. But what I'd like to see you be able to do is live on your income and still have a bit to save from it. Mm-hmm. And then if, God forbid, there is an emergency, you know that's available. But ideally, we get our emergency fund up and you, as you have been, but you borrow from it, not deplete it, and then we replace it. And so you're doing it for yourself rather than using a company who's charging you. And also, I think so you'll take a lot of control back when we get a handle on your budget because I'm sure it's frustrating at the end of the month needing to borrow from next month's wages, right?
Yeah, it's very embarrassing for me. I mean, not that anyone really knows this, but it's just like, it's embarrassing for me. I'm like 34 years old and I'm like, man, I would love to have a family one day and those things. And I'm like, I'm borrowing from an app. Like I can't even take care of myself properly, you know, or follow, you know, guidelines for a budget. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I will say that I think this time is particularly hard. You're not the only person that we're seeing that's having a very hard time making their income work. And I don't think it's necessarily the income. I just think that costs have gone up significantly, like all around. And incomes have stayed similar, right? So the problem is the increases are not lifestyle creep, it's just inflation. And so your groceries aren't getting you, your $200 on groceries are not getting you as much. And then Uber Eats, what maybe last year was $20 is now this year $25, or the service fees. And right, it's like sometimes you look at the prices of like what you're going to pay if you don't have a subscription to one of those, and it could be almost double. Like I looked at ordering breakfast one day and it was like $37.
Yeah, isn't that insane?
I was like, it's insane. And I was like, $37. Like it's eggs. It's eggs. No, eggs are usually unaffordable. They have spiked in prices, but if you think about what it costs for a carton of eggs, like I'm much better off. You know, I did not hit click as much as I wanted to. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to drive there and get it.
Exactly.
But if that happened, you know, like if we're not conscious of like these, and it's, you still can go out to eat, right? Let's just say that you've budgeted to have going out, but not if it's $40 for the delivery and it's a $12 meal, right? Like you can get a lot of $12 meals if you eliminate those service and expenses, right? And they've just creeped up a lot. Because I remembered it used to be, I saw that, I was like, fee, tip. Obviously, you're gonna tip, but I was like, man, I don't remember it being this expensive. So
It's so crazy. I think about like back in, I think it was 2012, I moved to my own for the first time. My rent was, I think, $7.95, somewhere around there. And I lived in the same area, really nice, cute little area. And I was able to like give my mom money just because like, you know, mom, I love you. You're amazing. Here's money, you know, and still like, I was just getting out of college too, so I'm still able to party and do all these things and like eat out and like live my best life and not think about this kind of stuff. And also get groceries, that's $200+ probably, and have like a month plus worth. So it's so interesting to see how things have changed over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people are feeling it. So technically you have 600 a month left over, technically. But let's just run through, do you have a 403b at work? You're in a
I do.
university of education for the, are you participating in that?
I think it's about 3% I'm contributing.
Okay, and not often is there a match, but do you have one? Do you know? Do they
It's
continue?
100%, and I think it goes up to 150 once you're vested, which is like a 3 year situation. So
It goes up to $150.
match or 150% match. I apologize.
Oh, 150% match. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. And it's vested over 3 years.
Correct.
Okay, that's actually a generous vest schedule because sometimes they're five. So,
Yeah.
and it's over 3 years. Perfect. So you're in that for 3%. And how much do you have in that account? I know you just started.
It's not a lot, and I also do not have the numbers in front of me, but it can't be that much. I just
I
started at the
do.
very end of November, and I probably signed up, in like sometime in December.
Okay. And then do you have any other retirement plans?
No, that's it.
Okay. And then do you have any other, do you have any debt? Do you have credit cards, student loans?
Yeah, I have about close to 9,000 for my two credit cards in total. And then my
Okay.
student loans, which is probably the most, which is about 160,000, give or take.
Okay. And now with where you're working, is it a qualifying institution for the public loan forgiveness
Yes.
program? Public service? It is. Okay. Okay. And are you on an income-based repayment plan then? I'm getting.
I'm not sure I actually have to call them tomorrow because I had missed a payment. I didn't have the to give them recently. But I was told to call back to figure out what that looks like and to sign myself up for all the things that I need for the next. I've probably surpassed the 10-year mark, but yeah.
Yeah, because I was gonna say you've been working a bit because you're 30. So now I believe, and don't quote me on this, I believe you can go back for when they pause them. They're all federal loans, and you can get
Yes.
qualifying years because otherwise, I do believe with the public, unless they change, I believe, and I would verify this tomorrow, that you need to certify your institution every year. So I think they'll go
Yeah.
back. And so you have to do it on an annual basis to make sure that you're getting credit for the years you're working. I do think you have an opportunity now to go back and capture the pause, which should be, I mean, that started in 2020. So that should be like a good amount of time. I would ask if you can go back and get credit for any other years. That would be my question. And then if you can't, I would make sure that you're getting certified because that would be amazing to get that wiped out. Because
I would
what is
love
that
that.
monthly payment? I think that's where we're
Oh,
missing the
jeez.
600 because I don't have
Yeah,
that.
right. Well, that's the thing. I haven't even been paying because been in remission pretty much because of I guess there's been like recent like policies and laws and things like that. So I think I was paying closer to 200 at one point in time a month. I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, find out tomorrow. But yeah, so you had been under the pause. So you didn't have to make
Yes.
payments, but those years count towards your public loan forgiveness, which is
Yes.
fantastic. You just have to get, you have to verify that. Usually with them, you have to do a little bit of work to get something. So,
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Okay, so then it should be when you have to start paying. It sounds like it just started. It would be around 200 a month. And I would verify that with this income, with this job, that it would still be 200 a month. Based on the payment plan. But that's a phenomenal way to get your loans paid off with a nominal amount that you'll pay. So if you're, let's just, we'll use the $200 amount as your monthly payment. So then over the course of every year, you're going to pay $2,400, right? So over 10 years, in theory, you would have paid $24,000 instead of $161,000, right?
That's so amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. So that I think that's a it's a phenomenal program. So I would, and we've had people get we had one woman before, they've made it easier, but initially when I started doing this podcast years ago, it was really, really hard. Like you really had to keep your paperwork. It was like a 1% approval, or it was a really dismal approval. They've improved it. Yeah, it was really, really bad. And we had a woman early on who was like, I did it, and if I did it, you can do it. Yeah. She was like,
I love
yeah, it was wonderful. She was like, keep your paperwork. Like, if I can get through this, you can get through it. They've made it easier because they got, obviously, you create this amazing program. You want people to succeed. Like, you don't want to, like,
Yeah.
be like, we have it. nobody survives. Because that's not helpful. So it's gotten easier. And I think the fact that you can count all of the COVID years will like let you leapfrog. And then I would ask if they'll count any of the other years that you would have that are qualifying.
I feel like when I call the first time, and just something about me that like everything's foreign language to me. So like anything numbers, it was really anything like about numbers and being an adult. I'm like, how do you adult, you know? So I'm like spending a full hour writing down every bit of notes, getting like definitions, stuff like that, because I'm so lost. But I do think that they told me last time I spoke with them that there's like a digital paperwork that I can actually transfer to the former jobs. There wasn't like a cutoff on that though, which is nice. But now this was maybe 2-3 months ago. So yeah, I'll figure this out once I talk to them tomorrow if this is still a thing.
Okay, so you have two pieces of homework for me. One,
I love homework.
Okay. One, the supplemental income, I would bring that back up to their attention and just say, until the role is filled, I would appreciate the extra income to do the extra work and push back on that ending and see what they say. Just say, what else could you do for me? You know, in order, supposed to be two people doing the role, it's just me, what else can we do? Or you could even say, like, if I'm going to continue this, like, can I have a raise to reflect the fact that I'm doing additional work and you're no longer paying two salaries, you're paying one salary, but two roles are getting completed. So remember, you always want to bring back that what you're doing, the value of what you're doing, the monetary value of what you're doing, not because it's not about you, it's about them, right? So like always make it about them. So I'm helping you and I'm doing two people's work. You're paying us out one salary. So either the supplemental income would be super appreciative to reflect the fact that I'm doing additional work, or is there a chance that if you're not going to hire anybody, I continue to do both roles, but that will be reflected in a salary increase?
Yes, I will definitely bring that up again. The other caveat to that is, so on the organization side, there's like a corporate side to that, and they also hire site managers, and they're making 64 plus thousand. And I'm clearly not making that. And it's so frustrating because they know this. It's not like they don't know this. They've heard it from the mouths of the former site managers complaining. And that's why the last one left when they did. Late. They're like, you know what?
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? If you don't give me the close to 64, like I'm out the door, I'll find something else. And they don't care. And so they left after those 9-10 years, you know? So, and I obviously brought it up whenever I applied. I'm like, you know, I really thought I was going to get something close to that, seeing as though I was at 63 at my former job as a site manager, you know, like it's so frustrating, and I'm trying to stick in it, but honestly, I'm like, I have to find something else. I have to, this is too much.
I don't disagree with you. And the thing, what you could do is if you get something else and you get something for more, you could always go back to them and say, I have an offer for, we'll just say 63. If you do like the role, you could decide. You could say, if you'd like to keep me, you're going to have to match or make it more attractive to stay. And I know you've had a lot of turnover, and I want to give you the opportunity to give me a comparable salary. So,
yeah, that is so true. Because I'm the only one.
But you just have to be willing to walk. Yeah. And the thing is, they might realize now, unfortunately, sometimes for companies, it takes somebody leaving for them to really realize that they should just pay more, because it's honestly cheaper to keep a good employee than it is to try and replace. And so they might be more sensitive to the inequality with the wages. And they might have a reason, like, well, we offer a better match on the 403B or better health insurance, so it's not going to be identical, but But you fake a say, well, the value of your health insurance is 2,000. Okay, well, then you should get me to 62, right?
Yeah. And it's such the way my brain works. Like, yeah, I understand that. And trust me, I always need to have great like insurance and things like that. In the now, what I want to see is not what I'm making. You know what I mean?
Right.
That makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's like, all this stuff is great, but I want to be able to use this money right now. I'm moving. I have this cat. Yeah. I have other things. I want to like be a young person and exist in the world and do fun things, like, you know, or just pay my rent, you know, and move to a place where I feel comfortable, where I can breathe and not have to worry about, okay, how many dollars do I have left after rent?
Absolutely. So, okay. So I think number one is advocate for yourself, which I'm sure you're great at, for the supplemental or a wage increase because you're doing two roles, and knowing that the role of the other on the other vendor side is a lot more. I will say generally education pays less than private sector, usually because of medical benefits. I will be honest. It's usually the medical. The medical is usually better coverage, lower co-pays, all of those sort of things. But with that said, it doesn't hurt to ask. Just say, I know that she left because she could have made 64. I know that's with the other side. I don't want to leave. I like the role, but you have me doing two roles instead of one role. So I'd like to discuss a salary increase to reflect the additional work that I've taken on. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, student, the public service loan forgiveness. Because I think you'd feel great if you knew that was going to be done in like 2 years or 4 years or that's whatever, totally right?
I would love to feel accomplished for once in something.
Yeah, and that would be a huge accomplishment, like getting your master's and then being done getting it paid off and getting it paid off for a fraction, right? Like not taking advantage, but using the resources that are available successfully. And this is a great resource and not everyone uses it. No, and when you graduate, they're not like, hey, looks like your master's would align with work in the public service arena. You should know about this. Like, no one sends you a letter and says, hey, you got a job in public service? You should get your loans forgiven. Here's how. Here's three steps. Scan this QR code and we'll take care of it. You know, a lot of this information isn't readily available. You have to go looking for it, right? They don't come to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.